Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
In John chapter 10, we have a great confrontation happening between the religious leaders and Jesus. And the issue that this is all about is over the ability to believe. Why won't they believe? Why won't they accept his claims? Well, here in this section, we have a question that the Jews pose to Jesus that we need to consider. In verse 24, they approach Jesus, they surround him, and they ask him this question: how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, I have stated yesterday and throughout our series on Abounding Grace in John, this problem that unbelief always advances ignorance. What we find here is that it is a willful choice. They literally, in the Greek, encircle him. This is a raging mob of Jewish authorities wanting to find a very clear reason and statement from Christ that they might put him to death. He had just called them thieves and robbers, sheep stealers. But the overarching indictment that set this whole thing off was way back in chapter 5 when he healed a man on the Sabbath. And then insinuated by his teachings, remember, as they heard him say that he is equal with God. So they come up to him: stop keeping us in suspense. If you are the Christ, tell us, literally it says here, with boldness. Just say it. Now this is shocking. Hadn't Jesus in his teachings made it really clear who he is? Remember John 5, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Whoa. Listen, when the cultists come to your door and deny the divinity of Jesus Christ, here's your verse. Jesus just said, whatever the Father does, he sees. And whatever the Father does, he does. Only somebody truly divine could say that. That the Father personally shows the Son everything that he does? How about this one? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Over and over and over again, Jesus made it really clear. He's divine. He is the eternal Son of God. They knew what he was teaching. All they want from him now is a bold, direct declaration so that they can kill him. Why? Because if he says it openly and boldly, the way they want him to, they can condemn him, because their view of the Messiah was a political one, and he hasn't accomplished any of that, according to, remember, who they think the Messiah should be in their own minds. So this is a really striking point. From the beginning, the Jews were totally and completely unwilling to come to Christ, unwilling to come to their Messiah with a believing heart. And notice how Jesus responds in verse 25. I have already told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So put this together. It's already been made real clear to you. I've already told you. And on top of that, look at all the works that I've done. They testify to it. I mean, in front of them, listener, dear listener, a man had been healed who was born blind. When, since the beginning of the world, had they ever seen anything like that? If this man were not from God, he couldn't do that, said the blind man. What are you seeing in John? Here's the application today. We're so backwards when we think of unbelief. How do you think of unbelief, dear radio listener? If someone doesn't believe, we think they just need more evidence, more information. They have to be convinced in the mind. We think that it's just ignorance of the truth that produces unbelief in people. I say it over Abounding Grace today, nothing could be farther from the truth. Unbelief produces ignorance. That is what Jesus is constantly saying. Why don't you understand my speech? It's because you're not able. Why were they not able? Because they did not want to come to him so that they may have life. So listen to the principle. A willfully unbelieving person can't be told anything. This has always been one of the most tragic and common responses today. You know, even as a pastor, I keep preaching the truth. You say the same thing over and over in many different ways. What I preach, it's nothing really new every week. It's still the core message said in different ways. It's the same thing in 100 different ways with the goal that believers would grow in understanding the gospel. So faith, belief in Jesus Christ promotes understanding. That's why believers grow. That's why the good seed of those who are truly saved hear the word and produce fruit. But unbelief, listen, really important we get this in John. Unbelief blinds. You can say something over and over and over, but if someone is committed to unbelief, if someone is committed to a path contrary to the word of God, it doesn't matter what you say, how you say it, how many times you make it absolutely clear as possible, their commitment to unbelief blinds their heart to hear or receive any truth. Jesus said this in John 7, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. So in other words, if anyone really desires to do the will of God because he believes, you're going to know that by what is understood and what is pursued, the knowledge of God's will. A right desire and understanding only comes from a believing heart. What's the problem we keep running into over and over in John? It's an awful commitment in the human heart to unbelief. And that is the problem. In verse 32, we read they want to stone him. Jesus says, many good works I've shown to you from my Father. For which of these works do you want to stone me? Isn't that one of the most painful verses in the New Testament from the Lord's mouth? He says, my purpose in coming is that men might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I came and I healed and I set free adulteresses. I made a man whole who had an infirmity for 38 years. I gave a man sight. I did all these good works that my Father gave me to do with the goal of salvation. For which of those do you want to stone me? Now, don't miss the connection, because they say, we don't stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Aren't they listening? I mean, that's the big question that really comes out in John chapter 10. Aren't they listening? Jesus is saying it's the works that prove and bear witness that he is indeed equal with God, and they still refuse to see that. The works that are done, Jesus says, I do. Notice the hypocrisy. Say openly whether you are the Christ. And here they're furious because they have heard him teach and say that he is indeed equal with God. Jesus is saying, don't the works prove it? Don't the works prove it? He goes on to say, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus is saying, we're one. We're one in essence. Summarize this. It goes like this. Jesus is saying to you, dear listener, think about my works. Think about all the salvation that's happening in all these people around the ends of the earth, all these Christians. I'm healing their souls. Here in this context, he was healing people who were sick. He was giving life. He was saving them from spiritual death. Jesus, using the words of Matthew 12, every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. You know that. Don't these works show? What do these works show? They show that I'm of God. Look carefully at them. They're good works. If you're an unbelieving skeptic today, look carefully. Look carefully at the Lord's salvation. Look carefully at the fruits of those who have genuinely been transformed. Oh, I'm not talking about hypocrisy. I recognize there's much hypocrisy in the Christian world. But I'm talking about those genuinely transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at their lives. There's something different. You know it. He had said this to Nicodemus. Look at the fruits of people. Look at the lives of people. Am I making them wicked? No. Jesus is not making anyone wicked. Christians are called to love their enemies. Christians are called to give to those who persecute them. Christians are called to lay down their lives for one another. Christians are called to model the gospel in not being self-serving, but to give their lives on the sacrifice and service of somebody else. Christians are called to love. That is being made alive, born again. Jesus is saying, you don't want to believe? Look at that evidence. That's been the problem. No amount of evidence can convince the unbelieving heart. You know, they sought to seize him again, and he escaped out of their hand. The problem of John 10, the problem of John's gospel throughout with the Jewish nation is not that they had the facts and then just made a reasonable decision not to believe. They can't believe. That's the problem. They will not believe. No manner of reasoning, no manner of convincing. They will not listen to the teaching or accept the claims of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has exposed it all. The words bear witness, the works bear witness, and whatever is of the Father is of me, and you have made the willful choice not to believe. Now, this is just as real today. These evidences are there. You know, you'll notice in Genesis 1 that God didn't come trying to make a case for his existence. He doesn't have to prove that to man. God begins his book by saying, in the beginning, God. And if you choose not to believe, Psalm 14 says the fool in his heart says there is no God. Every bit of evidence won't convince you. The point of John's gospel, dear friend, is that you need a new heart. You need to be born again. You need to have life implanted, the principle of life, into your soul so that you see your condition. You see the way that God has defined things for us, and that you see that there is only salvation. There is no other salvation except in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Do you believe in him? I pray today that your heart's been changed and that you can see your sin and that you can see how beautiful the Son of God is to your soul. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. Join us for worship. We would love to get to know you and meet you. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.